Glenn William Knofziger II is married to Erin. They have two children and are expecting a third, so their family continues to grow. Glenn grew up on a farm between pigs, chickens, and steers. He says steers smell the best, but he prefers the smell of the soil. Glenn graduated from Heston College and Eastern Mennonite University, where he studied elementary education and played basketball. He completed two intense discipleship training programs with outreach mission assignments in Peru, South America, and in Mexico. Glenn has taught high school math, coached junior high track, basketball, and cross country, as well as Bible quizzing. He served as a youth program director at Little Eden Camp in Michigan for 6 years, beginning in 2002. He has also farmed for 7 years with his brother Galen and father Cloyce. He currently attends Zion Mennonite Church in Broadway, where he serves on the Faith Formation Commission. Glenn loves listening to well-told stories and being a character. So Glenn, come and be a character for us as you share your capstone entitled Transformational Story Sharing.
Thank you, Lonnie, for sharing those parts of my story leading up to my time coming here to seminary. First, I'd like to dedicate this presentation and my project to my wife, Erin. Thank you, Erin, for being my wonderful supporting character these last 4 years of seminary and on this maybe unexpected adventure, this journey that we're on, as we discern our parts to play in this grand story. God's story, life. Like Sam asked Frodo at the end of one of the Lord of the Rings films, I wonder what story we have fallen into. What is our part to play, and what are some of the stories that they may tell about us? Once upon a time, there was this little boy who just treasured having his mom read to him stories before bed. Bible stories, Cat in the Hat, The Diggin'est Dog, The Berenstain Bears, the one where they go up Spook Hill and they say, whoo, and I was scared, but I still loved it. And his love for stories grew. He was captivated learning the Bible stories in Sunday school and became enchanted reading in school and hearing stories of far-off places and magical kingdoms, as well as biographies of inventors and presidents growing up in colonial America. Then one day, his older, wiser brother, who also shared his appreciation for story and the delight of becoming entranced in story, introduced him to the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, and his love for stories grew. There was something special about the Chronicles of Narnia because the characters in that story told of a deeper story with magic that rang of deeper truth and mystery. What is your appreciation for story? Maybe stories don't speak to you the way they speak to me. Maybe they seem silly or ridiculous. Or do they inspire or excite you or excite your imagination? Some stories may inspire your faith, while others may confuse or confound or seek to dismantle it. What are the stories that transform you? What are the stories that are most transformational, and why? I've entitled my capstone, Transformational Story Sharing, a realization of a ministerial calling for me. And my thesis is the better that you know your story, the better you can be present and listen to others. So to put this capstone into context, about knowing your story and listening to story, you need to understand my perspective of seeing each of us as characters playing our part in God's grand narrative, God's story, life. Notice I entitle it Story Sharing. It's not just about listening well. It's not just about knowing your story or sharing your story, but also having others share their story with you. We are all intertwined. we share parts, or we don't share parts, of our story with others. When watching a movie, I enjoy watching it with someone else. We have this shared experience. And so we go forward knowing that we were shaped by that story in some way. Coming to seminaries helped me see the importance of knowing my story. What has brought me here to this point in my life? What are the significant life events, both positive or painful, or seemingly insignificant, that have shaped my life up until now? What is God calling me to, and how am I to faithfully live into that part to play? I want to share a significant piece of my story. A story that is marked with some pain and resentment, but also appreciation and fulfillment. Many of you know that I'm named after my grandfather, Glenn William Nofziger, and I have here his diploma from high school. And it says Glenn W. Nofziger. You can see it just has one N. I have two. And it's huge, as you can see. And it says 1,931. So this is 84 years old. I've said many times that it's kind of a big deal for me to think about even being here in seminary, to entertain the possibility of graduate school or graduating. I'm the only one in my family that will, if I get it, have a graduate degree in a few weeks. My father is a farmer. He's only ever wanted to be a farmer. And my grandfather was a farmer too. But I just learned this last week or so that my grandpa wanted to go to college. I had no idea. Now, as you can tell by the size of the diploma, and in 1931, it was a big deal for him to graduate from high school. And I knew it was a big deal, but I never knew that he wanted to go on to college. And I don't know what the reasons were, if it was 1931, if time of the Depression, or if he just had to stay home at farm. But he didn't get to go. Being named after my grandpa, I haven't always appreciated it. Being the second, I got made fun of in school. I was called the third and the 57th. And I didn't even put it on my Bible. I didn't engrave the Roman numeral 2 when I got my Bible when I was baptized. It wasn't until I went off to college that I actually started to appreciate that I was named after my grandfather. I was like, wait a second, this is actually cool. And I have the $2 bill that he gave me on my birthday, and I use twos all the time now in honor of my grandfather. I learned to start to appreciate being named after my grandfather, and it grows in significance. But I think, standing here today, my grandfather would be proud of me for pursuing my education in the pursuit of church leadership, of serving the church. So I tell the story as an example of a significant piece of my past that shapes and informs my story as I go forward into the future. Know your story well. I have a list here of some of the classes that have helped shape and inform how I understand story, how I understand the Bible, and I want to share a little bit of a snippet, something I learned from these classes. It's not the only thing I learned from these classes, but it is one thing from each class. We've had a number of opportunities through this formation process to share our story. We sometimes joke about we've had maybe too many chances to share our story, but I disagree. I think it's taken multiple times for me to realize the significance. In formation in God's story, we put our story in the context of God's story. And thank you, Kevin and Mary, for helping me do that. Formation ministry, we work on understanding relationships within family systems. We work with the genogram. But I don't think it was until CPE, clinical pastoral education, until a number of these significant learnings about myself and my story really hit me as significant, like being named after my grandfather and the family projection that I felt that I was under, like to become a pastor. But I'm going to show my genogram just briefly. It was the best thing that I found to put it on the back of, and I thought it was kind of funny and significant, but it's on the back of a Hobbit poster, which is entitled An Unexpected Journey. Thank you, Kenton and Penny, for those learnings in CPE. I learned that there are life commands, and I wonder what life commands that I'm subject to that I don't even realize that are false or unnecessarily hindering my ability to live a life of freedom and flourishment and faithfully following God's calling. In pastoral care and counseling, we revisited a number of the things that we studied in CPE, like listening well and care, and I think counseling has been something that has balanced well my learnings in CPE of reflective listening skills. Counseling is I'm learning a whole other ball game of counseling, trying to counsel people beyond listening and beyond through their pain and suffering. So thank you, Lonnie. I don't have time to fully explain how each of these classes, I had 31 classes here at seminary, of what has shaped, how they have shaped me and come to understand my story and God's story. George R. Brunk III, interpreting the biblical text, I appreciated so much his ability to gracefully handle difficult issues, complex scriptural passages in ways that, or how the learning in his class has implemented, helped me to learn to implement my hermeneutical approaches to biblical passages, to interpretation, which informs my understanding of God's grand story told and explained in the Bible. Old Testament, Hebrew, Psalms, and wisdom literature. I appreciated Jim Engel as he instilled in us and taught the Hebrew faith, the story of tradition, and their reverence for Yahweh. Thank you, Jim. Youth ministry, seminar. Thank you, Emily. This class probably helped me articulate best my practical theology for ministry. Some of the things we learned, studied at Andrew Root, the place sharing, incarnational understanding of relational ministry. It helped me put my ministerial calling in perspective of what I want to do, not just relating to people, but listening well, and the story of Momo that we read. Gospel of John in Greek. I had the privilege of taking these at the same time. I think Gospel of John, there is no better place portrayed. The Gospel of John is just begging to be acted out, and it fits great into my scheme of this grand story. John tells the story in such a way that it could not be embedded more with meaningful symbolism. If you want to talk about a well-told story, there's no better example than the Gospel of John. Thank you, Dorothy Jean, for helping to guide us into the significance of the story, richer with symbolism than anyone could ever imagine. Christian ethics. We read the book, James K.A. Smith, Imagining the Kingdom, and I love the question that he asks, what are the stories that shape us? I've come to realize that the best-told stories have no insignificant details. The Gospel of John is an example. Any of the narrative stories with Jesus, all of the significant details, all of the details that are there are significant in some way. Have you ever read a book, and your favorite book, and you read it again, and you catch something you didn't catch the first time? I finally came up with the best response to others, but my father specifically, why do you read the same book again? I was like, well, why do we read the Bible again? You think you have the story down once, read it again and see what you catch. And when my brother taught me about reading Chronicles of Narnia, he said he likes to read it about every year. I don't think he does it anymore. But each time, there's deeper meaning that you catch with Aslan's words. And not all stories are like Chronicles of Narnia, an allegory about God's story. But if you catch what Aslan says, they're profound truths that seems like Lewis is saying directly correlate to God. The best told stories have no insignificant details. I just have a few tips here of some of the things that I learned about listening to stories, And if you're going to take a picture of a slide, take a picture of this one. And these are a few just quick explanations of things that have been deeply, profoundly meaningful in my learning here since CPE and my whole time here at seminary. But reflective listening, this was one of my most difficult learnings because I realized I didn't know how to do this. I thought I could relate well to people, and this learning in CPE of being able to ask open-ended questions that are others-focused finally helped me at least realize how to stay others-focused, not to just interject my story, because I was really good at telling my story, and I thought that I could relate because I've either read a story or I've heard a story or watched a movie or something that could speak into your story, and I would get distracted or over-identify. So knowing your story well, even knowing the stories that you've heard, but knowing your story well can prevent distraction because things may come up and you're like, oh, I've never even dealt with this. And then you can become paralyzed. Or I know how to relate because of this story. And then I want to tell you about my story. And what it does in the distraction, I wrote some good things here if I can remember them. It can shut off their imagination, their process. It's not about you. However, these experiences that you've had may be your best ability to be able to relate to them. And it may be your best stuff, but what do you do with it? Can you shelve it? Do you use it right away? How do you use your story that will help and not hurt, not inhibit, but help the listening process and the other person? Differentiation of self. CPE really helped to manage anxiety. Where do you notice that you're anxious? Can you acknowledge it, set it there, and then choose your best way forward? And acknowledging your anxiousness is a helpful tool. Listening to details as well as looking for themes. Pay attention to the details. What are people saying? What are the words they're using? What are the pictures on the wall? What do you see? And then taking a step back and also trying to look for overarching themes. What's the symbolism? What are the metaphors? What are they saying by not saying it? And so you got the details as well as the big story. And that's helpful in interpreting any story, whether you're watching a movie, thinking critically. What are people saying? What are they not saying? Keep perspective. Keeping perspective according to God's narrative. And that's kind of my perspective as I go through listening to stories in life. I have my perspective of my faith, and that's what defines me. My identity is in Christ. And with the incarnational understanding of relational ministry and place sharing, the Holy Spirit is present. When I talk with someone, when I meet with someone, God is here. And how does that define our interaction? How does it define our story, the story that's being said or shared? Because I believe the sharing of stories can be transformational for both the listener and the storyteller when it is shared in the context of God's story. Thank you.